It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. I am so excited to be putting together something really spectacular for you guys based on some feedback I've been getting lately, and I'm really, really excited about that. I can't, however, give you all the details yet because I'm still pulling them together. Just know that there's going to be some amazing people from the horse world and the rodeo world involved. And I think it's something that's going to really have a big impact on those of you who are either getting into riding and or competition, or have been doing it for a little while and looking to progress. And even those of you who are still kind of thinking about getting involved, it's going to be beneficial to all of you, and I will have more details for you very soon. I'm really excited to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Jamie Stoltzfus, and she lives just right down the road from me in Livingston, Montana. Her business is called Spurring Change, and she uses horses to facilitate life coaching. I think it's just so phenomenally cool what she does, and I'm really, really glad that I could have her on the show. So let's go ahead and dive into my interview with Jamie. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm really excited to have you here.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have somebody on to talk about sort of coaching with using horses for a while, and so I'm really glad that you could be it.
Yes, well, thank you.
So can you just tell us, like, basically how you got involved in what you're doing, sort of your background and how it brought you to where you are today?
Sure. So I grew up in Arizona, always had horses in my life since I was a little girl. And, you know, I went through a lot of stuff as a kiddo, you know, through my parents' divorce and just life stuff. And my horses were always my go-to, and they really helped me through so many things. And so I always knew just the benefit of being around them and how they helped me personally. And then once I graduated high school, I went to college at Colorado State University in Fort Collins and got a degree in ag business and equine science. And then from there, I met my husband and we moved up to Montana and had my horse with me the whole time. I was always pulling a trailer, bringing my horses along wherever we went. And then we moved to Montana, and my husband and I have been ranching ever since we moved up to Montana. And also, when I first moved, I got a job at a bank and worked in an office, worked in front of a computer, and great job. But it didn't take me long to realize, you know what, this is just not what I want to do for 40 years, and really had to think hard about what am I passionate about and what do I want to do. And I was like, it's my horses and helping people. And so then I started down the road of what is out there that I can do that kind of joins that, and realized that there is this whole world of coaching and therapy with horses, and not just physical therapy, which is phenomenal, but also just the emotional side of it, where people can just what life throws at them through interacting with horses. And I was like, sign me up. And so I did. I went back to school. I got a 2-year certification through a program in Colorado to do the work, to do this coaching work with horses. And once I did that, that's when I branched off and started my business, which I called Spurring Change. And I got that name just for helping people move forward and really implementing change in their lives. And so everything I do is outside, in my arena, in the round pen, all with the horses. And it's so powerful, you know, so I experienced it firsthand and then learned how to share that with other people. And it's been huge. It's just been a huge blessing in my own life. And now I'm able to help others as well.
That's awesome. You know, I've had horses my whole life as well. And I guess, you know, I've experienced some of the same things you're talking about, as far as, you know, they tend to be pretty therapeutic. And if you are feeling down, you can just kind of go sit with them and they make you feel better. but I've never actually been through sort of the coaching experience that you're talking about. So I'm curious how that whole process works and what you're looking for and sort of what your clients learn from that.
Sure. And there's a lot of different facets of that. So I'm big, really the route that I tend to go is through the avenue of horsemanship. So that's huge for me too. That's what I've studied my whole life too, is just horsemanship with the horses I've owned and teaching that to other people as well. And so now bringing the coaching in, it really looks like more of what is coming up when you're working with this horse. So, and one, horses are amazing teachers, just how they operate. So, you know, if you watch a herd of horses, the leadership, the communication, the trust, all of that, just being really clear, being a good leader, you have to when you're working with horses. So just some of those things just come naturally when you are on the ground with a horse, riding horse, all of that. And then working with horses, it can bring up a lot of stuff for people, whether it be fear, whether it be how they deal with challenges, obstacles, all of that stuff. Does anger show up? All of those things. So from there, I take that and use my background in coaching, just through my own coaching questions and exercises I put them through with the horses to help them realize where that comes from, where that reaction comes from, why they're triggered in such a way, and then really help them navigate through whether it be the emotions, whether it be the fear, whether it be I want to build my confidence. So it's just this huge realm of how horses can teach us and help us through that to get the results we want and really leave a lot of baggage behind, a lot of old patterns behind, a lot of negative thought patterns that I believe that so many people carry in different ways. So I don't know if that answers your question. It is kind of hard to wrap your mind around, well, what do these horses do?
Right.
But like I said, too, horses by nature, they're prey animals. So they're so sensitive. So they know. They know if I'm having a bad day. They know if I'm carrying around a lot of sadness that day. They know because they have that heightened sense. That's how they survive, is sensing danger, is sensing all of that. So they know. It's kind of like that. What I've heard many times before is you could go out in a herd of 10 horses and the horse you're going to catch, they know that you're after them. you know, they just, it's like, well, how do they know? You know, you can't trick them. I always say that you can't lie to a horse. And that's what's so powerful too, is they just know. And so they make us be honest with ourselves and authentic. And that's just what I love about it.
So what are some of the exercises that you would have somebody do are most of your clients new to horses? Are they experienced with horses, or, you know, are you starting at the very beginning with them? How does that all work?
It depends. So I'll take all levels. So a lot of my retreats, people come and they have zero horse experience. Mm-hmm. They've never been around it. And some are scared to death of horses. So I have that. And then I also have more of where I teach the horsemanship side of it. And they're people that come, bring me their own horses, say, hey, I have this problem with my horse. What's going on? So they're really, it kind of depends on the situation. So, the retreats where, people horse experience and they're working with my horses, almost all of it's done on the ground, on pen. And we do different exercises as far as just having that horse either try to hook up with them or take them through an obstacle course. But it's so dependent on the person and what that person needs. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is when people are navigating through something pretty big in their life, it could be a traumatic experience. It could be just a huge life challenge. It could be, I'm going through this. I'm having trouble with this, addictions, eating. I mean, so many things. What the crutch of it is when a person really taps into what either their feeling is, their emotion is, and they become kind of congruent in that. So rather than trying to hide it per se, that horse, my horse will connect with them like a magnet. And so that's really what I'm looking for. And when a 1,200 pound animal comes over and acknowledges you and says, hey, I'm here for you. I understand what you're feeling. Thanks for being honest. Oh man, it's just that in of itself is huge for people, because sometimes talking to me just face to face, it's hard for people to share and talk through that and all that stuff. But when they have the experience with the horse, it can just unlock so many things. And so that's kind of the whole overview of kind of what happens with these horses, is they connect to people that are authentic and tap into that emotion that they need to feel and get out of their head. Like horses are feeling animals. They're not worrying about yesterday or tomorrow, or they live in the present. And people usually don't. We hold on to stuff. We carry a lot of stuff with us. Horses don't. And so just that dynamic is really what I set up and facilitate to help people get through some big blocks. So that's the one side of it. And then, like I said, for people more experienced that come and ride and learn horsemanship, we're riding. I mean, we're riding, we're working through problems, we're doing stuff. And even just in that, it's helping people overcome patterns and their reactions. And why is your horse reacting to you that way? And most of the time, I hate to say it, it's not the horse having the problem. It's usually us, me included. You know, if I'm having a bad day riding, it's usually me, not my horse. So just kind of helping people see what's going on and then get through it and leave more with just my horse can do a fine lead change now, or my horse, you know, I can post well. It's really more of, I changed a lot in this. I grew as a person. So it's more than a riding lesson, if that makes sense. It's really, my mission is to help people apply what they're learning and going through with their horses and apply it to their lives, because I've learned and seen it relates. It really relates of what's going on in a person's life is going to show up when they're working with my horses or their own horses. So,
yeah. I often say that if your horse, especially if you have a trained horse, if they're not doing what you want them to do, it's because you're not asking them properly.
Sure.
And so it comes down to, you know, how we're asking. And sometimes, like you're saying, if we have some sort of emotional block in there somewhere, then maybe it's creating or causing us to ask them the wrong way.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. And I've seen it, and just learning, you know, I've learned a lot about how I communicate. So how I communicate with my horse in a lot of ways is how I communicate with my husband, how I communicate with my son. And so just taking that, it's just, I help people become aware of that, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And when we become aware of things, and if it's something that we don't particularly like or want to continue doing, once we're aware of it, then we can take steps to change it. And so if we're open to that, we can learn a lot from how we're walking through our lives, and it shows up when we're working with horses. That's kind of what I've been learning these years of doing this, and it's really neat how it relates.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you and thinking, I wonder what I would discover if I were to go ride with Jamie.
Well, we all do. I mean, geez, every day it's me too included in all this. So, yeah.
Yeah, especially the part about communicating with your husband. I'm like, I think that might be really valuable.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. It's funny too. I mean, golly, it's fun. I mean, I have a lot of fun with the clients that come see me, because you're right. It's kind of just the aha moments of just like, got it. You know, it's just funny. So, yeah.
So what are some of those aha moments for people? I mean, what do people tend to leave with after they've spent a day or however many sessions with you?
Sure. So one thing, it kind of depends. So a lot of my retreats, they're intense, and a lot of people come with some pretty deep stuff that they want to leave behind. So those weekends, the ahas are more of transformational stuff of like, I've been carrying this baggage, whether it be around I got divorced 10 years ago or I was abused by my father as a kiddo. I mean, just some pretty heavy stuff where they never really processed that, or maybe lost somebody a few years ago and didn't maybe grieve as well as they could. So there's that kind of stuff that's, you know, a lot of bigger stuff. And after a weekend, they're really able to be free from a lot of that stuff that they've just been carrying, if that makes sense. So just so many people have told me, like, wow, I feel 10 pounds lighter. I mean, wow, I finally feel like I can have a little bit of joy and peace in my life again. Wow, I feel like I can not feel like I want to kill that person now that I see them, you know, just stuff like that. So those are a lot of the testimonials I get at the end of a pretty intense retreat. Other ones, more of just the come to me for a session or a horsemanship lesson. Like I said, I really try to help people relate to, how does this, you know, how do you walk through your life, you know, with your coworkers, with your spouse, with whatever. And a lot of it, like you were saying, is communication. So it's like, oh, I'm pretty sure when I say this, it's coming off like this, and that's totally not how I mean it. Or I just now realize I am not clear at all, or I'm really inconsistent. Like, no wonder why my horse doesn't do this, or they do this one time and this another time, because I'm not consistent. Like, just little things like that. And then realizing, wow, I'm really that way in, how I raise my kiddo. I'm not consistent. Or am I bribing my horse? Oh, do I bribe my children? So a lot of those little things that people can become aware of that are those little ahas that can go a long way. And so those are just a few examples. But it's so dependent on the people. But yeah, so it could be really big stuff. And it could also be like, this is going to help me in my day-to-day life, or this is something I want to work on. So just things like that.
That's really cool. So how many of the people that maybe come to you for a retreat or something and they're not horse people, they haven't really ever been around horses, how many of those people go back and sort of bring horses into their lives after that?
So many. And if they don't actually do it, they want it. And not only do they want a horse, they want my horses. I do a lot of retreats with my good friend Sarah Harem, and they're like, we want your horses. So they want to take horses home from the retreats. But yeah, so many people that aren't around them, and even some people that have been around them, they see these horses in a different way. So more than just a horse that you can ride, they really see what else horses can bring to the table in a way for us, and how big a heart these horses have. And so maybe a new appreciation for horses as well as an initial love for them. So yeah, so many times it's our horses are always the way beyond us doing the horses. And they are. I mean, I say so many times that I work for my horses. I mean, I'm helping facilitate, but they're really the ones helping people, really the ones that are the teachers. I'm just there as the middleman in some ways. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's, horses can teach us a lot. And even in, you know, settings that aren't a coaching session, I mean, in the last few years, went through a pretty traumatic thing with one of my horses where he actually colicked and had to have surgery. And just the whole experience of going through that, I mean, I didn't know if I was going to make it. Like, I didn't know if I was going to make it through that whole scenario when he was sick, and then he was at the vet, and then we had to decide if we were going to do the surgery or not, and if I was going to have to put him down or not. And then finally, you know, my dad and I made the decision to do the surgery. And I thought after that, I was like, good, you know, this is great. The surgery went really well. He's going to be fine now. I can go back to my life the way it was, and I won't have this anxiety anymore. And it was worse afterwards because I got him home. I was like just micromanaging every little thing he did because he had a few little bouts of colic after the surgery. And then, you know, I was so worried about feeding him and checking on him and making sure he was okay. And I didn't want to leave the house because what if something happened when I was gone and I just spent all this money on Alex's surgery? And I mean, it was horrible. I mean, I missed that out on that whole summer. I never left home. It was just so intense going through that. But I will say, after it was all over and he's doing great now, we have like this bond that we didn't have before. I mean, we did. We always had a bond, but now it's like so much stronger after going through all that.
Oh, that's neat.
That was quite an experience for me. You know, I've had horses my whole life and I've had different, had to deal with different physical ailments and whatnot, but nothing to that extreme. I mean, I remember one night laying in bed listening to, you know, he was outside my window and I could hear when he was moving around or whatever, and that he and my other horse would kind of move the panels and I could hear him. And I was just like such a major stress ball. And I'm laying there crying and my boyfriend's like, "Are you okay?" And I said, I don't know if I would do this again. I don't know if I would do it again. Cause I just, this is so much harder than I ever imagined.
I understand.
So talk about some of the other things that you do. You live in Livingston, Montana.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you guys also do ranch retreats that don't involve coaching. Is that right?
Yes. We do a couple. We call them our cowgirl camps. And we do a lot of boys in some.
Oh.
but most of the time it's women. And yes, so those weekends are actually at my friend's place in Judith Gap. We do them outside of there. And she also has a ranch and all that stuff. So we're riding, we're learning horsemanship, we're moving cows, we're, you know, roping and learning how to swing ropes. We have music by the campfire and s'mores. So it's just a really fun weekend for someone to immerse themselves in the cowboy lifestyle. For a weekend, we feed you, we put you up and wine and dine you Montana cowboy style. And, it's fun. So we do have, we offer those, just a couple weekends in the summertime. And then my other retreats also, we do riding and the coaching. So all my retreats will incorporate some riding into it. And just riding in the mountains, getting out, and then do some coaching as well. So
what kind of people come out for those retreats?
All across the board, a lot of people that live in cities, you know, that just, mm-hmm. I mean, Montana is a huge draw in and of itself. I totally understand. And so a lot of people that just want to get away, mm-hmm. unplug. A lot of places where our retreats are, most of the time we don't have cell service and people love it. You know, they can really unplug. And so most of the people, and a lot of, a lot of people that will come with their families or daughters or girlfriends and all that stuff, and people that just really, really need it to get away, and they'll come by themselves and meet other wonderful people, and then they'll become lifelong friends. So the connections are really neat. That's a whole other added benefit of these retreats, because especially the coaching side of it, I mean, you really feel like after a few days, you really know some people. And so new connections are made, and it's just really neat. So across the board, really, again, just, I had a gal from Switzerland this last summer, and then she ended up staying an extra month. She's like, "I'm not leaving."
Wow.
So she hung out, and it was awesome. So yeah, really a lot of variety of people, which is fun.
And probably some of those people go home wanting to get more involved in the Western lifestyle as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. And like what you asked earlier, get a horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy a horse. So, yeah.
Yeah, which is not easy for everyone, depending on where they may live.
Exactly.
Do you have a lot of international visitors that come, or mostly in the States?
Yeah, mostly in the States, and hopefully that'll continue to grow. It was really fun having the gal from Switzerland last summer, and so hopefully more and more, because that's really fun too.
But yeah,
mostly it's just US. Yeah.
So Can you talk a little bit about the coaching method that you use?
Yeah. So the certification I went through, I'm technically a certified equine gestalt coach. So I'm not a therapist. There's a fine line between coaching and therapy. So I'm a certified coach.
What is the difference?
A lot of it is mainly, I can't diagnose things. So,
okay.
And there's some other minor things, but, there's that line, and a lot of it's, you know, liability stuff, but, I can't diagnose anything. And,
okay.
And really how I describe it too is I don't give advice. I really trust that my client knows in some capacity, whether it's, you know, conscious or subconscious. And my job is to really help them get clarity on what they know. But I feel that we know the answers for ourselves, or we can figure out the answers, if that makes sense. So that's really how I see myself as a coach versus a therapist. Is I'm helping the person, you know, navigate through stuff and figure it out on their own, knowing and trusting that they ultimately know what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And then as far as gestalt, that's just the type of psychology that the method that I learned is rooted in. And gestalt is a German word that means wholeness. And the best I explain that on a broad spectrum is the philosophy behind the gestalt type of psychology is that we all have what they call unfinished business in some capacity. And it could be I had a fight with my spouse last week, and it could be going all the way back to childhood. And honestly, a lot of deep-rooted issues do go back to childhood. So if we don't process that, and a lot of times as kiddos, we don't have the capacity as a child to process it effectively. Mm-hmm. And so anything that can happen, it could be very traumatic or not as traumatic. It, you know, we tend to carry that. And so they call that unfinished business. Baggage is what a lot of people call it, you know, on a day to day, we all carry baggage. Yeah. And so what's really cool about this coaching method is when people come to see me for a session or a retreat, we find that unfinished business, and a lot of people know what it is. And a lot of people don't be like, I just don't ever feel good. And a lot of it is physical ailments. You know, I have ulcers all the time, or it could be, I can't trust anybody, or I'm closed off all the time, or I carry so much anger, or I haven't cried in 40 years. You know, that's not very good. So what happens, you know, the other side is when we don't process our emotions, which as a child, again, we learn as, for the most part in our society and culture, that crying is bad, you know, showing emotion is bad. And so especially women, we shove it. And a lot of times, you know, don't process stuff. So anyway, all of that stuff can be unfinished business. So what I do is I find that, and we find that, and we finish it. And the coolest thing about it is that part of that unfinished business, going through this coaching method and the exercise with the horses and how that's uncovered, it really can be finished and left in my arena. Wow. And I didn't believe it at first until I went through the program and I had to look at my own unfinished business. And I'm the first one to say it works, because I got through so much stuff that I don't carry anymore, that I don't have the same patterns, that I don't react the same way. I don't have that negative voice constantly in my head. Just stuff like that, that me personally experienced, that I carried for a really long time. And don't get me wrong, I have more. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to get more. But just kind of having that and starting to recognize that and helping people, you know, process that stuff they've been carrying, it is truly freeing. And so that's the type of methodology, because it can go pretty deep, but it's really effective.
Yeah.
Really effective.
Gosh, this is so cool. I really want to come out and see you now.
Come on out anytime. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's really neat.
So can you talk a little bit, you mentioned, I don't know if you said this or if I've read it elsewhere, but horses tend to be a mirror for us as humans. And how would you look at a horse's behavior and know what they're reflecting from someone?
Sure. So I call my horses my little lie detectors. So let's say I have my client and I put him in the round pen with my horse, and my horse is loose. So my horse is totally at liberty, and I am asking coaching questions, or tell me, you know, I may ask the client, tell me what's going on with this, or tell me what happened with this. Or, I mean, it's a variety of different things. I do 100 different things, but, as soon as that person answers honestly, that horse will go to them like a magnet. That's the best way I can describe it. So that's really the key to it, is when my horse is engaging with my client, I know we're going down the right path, and my client knows we're going down the right path. And as soon as that horse comes, and you, as you know, just the presence of that horse and the motion of that horse, they can really be like, I'm going there, you know, like, all right, let's process this. Other times, you know, the horses do crazy things. I mean, I've seen horses lay down for somebody, so somebody can go and grieve a loss. Wow. So it's almost like they will recreate situations. I'm telling you, I did not believe it. Even growing up with horses, I didn't give them enough credit. So I was a skeptic, I'm not going to lie, but I've seen these horses do some crazy things. What else? That joining up is the biggest part. Or why won't this horse, why does this horse continually turn its butt to you? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? And it means something different sometimes for different people. It could be like, that's how I treat everybody. You know, I'm totally closed off to everybody. And as soon as they get it, it's like there's a shift in the person. That once again, because the horse is so sensitive, will recognize that, and then they'll kind of shift and come back and connect with them again once these people get these aha moments. Or I put a halter on the horse and say, lead this horse through this course. If they have any doubt or any fear, any whatever, or try to manhandle my horse, control. Okay, so control will come up. My horse will not like it. They won't go. They will try to get away. You know, just different things. And like I said, it's just amazing what these horses will do to help people realize, here's what's going on with you. You know, here's where you need to make some changes. So, yeah, so many different ways the horses will show up. But I think the majority of the time, like I said, is they're my little lie detectors, and they really make people get down to the nitty gritty of really what's going on with them. And then they'll connect, and they'll be a support, and they'll all of that. And just that, I mean, that it's like almost this crazy magical thing that happens where people that'll unlock them.
Yeah, and that's where we need to be paying attention with our own horses and trying to recognize those behaviors in them, and sort of do our own little investigation to see what's going on and why our horses are behaving in a certain way.
Yeah, another way to describe it too is that, I mean, every day if I go and catch my horses, and let's say I'm having a for whatever reason, and I put on a smile and try to be like, all right, I'm gonna go catch you. Keep in mind, my horses are out in the middle of a 10 acre pasture plus, so they very easily cannot get caught. If I'm having a bad day and try to put on this front that everything's hunky-dory and I might be upset from something that happened that morning, my horses want nothing to do with me. They're gone. Okay, so, but as soon as I'm like, huh, what's going on with me today? Even if I just be like, you know what, I'm having a really bad day and I own it, I can catch my horse. So even just as simple as that, just like, all right, what's going on? What is my horse aware of that's just not right? So to them, it's like I said, because they're prey animals, because they have to sense stuff for their own survival, like, I think there's a mountain lion, you know, around this tree, whatever. Their instincts that haven't been dulled by TVs and iPhones and all that stuff. I mean, they're pretty, pretty sensitive still for their survival instincts. even though they're domestic. So even that, I mean, that's the type of stuff is a good way to describe it, is my horses know. My horses know even when I may not know. And it really makes me stop and go, all right, what's going on with me today? And that's how it also works with my clients. So
it's almost like they pick up on the discord.
Exactly. The incongruence, I guess, is a good way to describe it. And as soon as we become congruent and kind of aligned with, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, here's what's going on, and it all lines up, then they're like, all right, that's genuine. I can trust that, if that makes sense. And my horses are super in tune to that because I use them all the time for the coaching. So,
right.
Yeah, they're super sensitive and they know their job now.
Very cool. Well, thank you for coming on the show today, Jamie. If people want to find out more about what you do, how can they find you?
So my business is Spurring Change, and my website is www.spurringchange.com. And all my contact information is on there. All the retreats we're having this summer with the dates and all more information on that, as well as my email and my phone number. And I just tell people, contact me, talk to me anytime, in any way, email, phone call, happy to share more and just get more information. And I'm also on Facebook, just Spurring Change.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So I always ask the same question at the end of all my interviews. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy or horseman to have?
Oh, it's funny because we were just talking about this in our house, because a lot of my coaching stuff I do, like, what is your biggest value? Like, what is the most important thing to you and kind of how you operate? And so first and foremost, mine is integrity. And so I would apply that to cowboys as well. But also I think passion and heart. I think in order to be a cowboy, cowgirl, you gotta have a lot of passion and heart for it, and
yeah,
and grit, because it's not always a breeze out here on the on the range. So
yeah, that's for sure. I was just talking with one of my guests last week about what makes somebody want to be a cowboy and why somebody would choose that career over, like, having a career that really pays well.
Yeah, you know? Like, not for the love of money. That's for
right. So obviously, you know, there has to be love there. There has to be passion there, or they're going to choose a different career, because it's, like you said, it's not always easy. And there's going to be days that you wonder why you're out there. But then you have moments that remind you every day why you do what you do.
It's so rewarding. Yeah. And well, you know, when I'm not doing my retreats and my sessions, I'm helping my husband ranch, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's such a neat lifestyle that's so rewarding. So,
yeah, I know there's probably a lot of people that would envy the life that you live, Jamie.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. I'm very, very blessed. Very blessed. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a pleasure talking with you. I'm so glad we finally got to do this, and I hope we can get together here soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jamie Stoltzfus. She is really amazing with what she does with her horses. And at some point, I'm hoping to get over there and actually work with her a little bit, maybe get a video that I can share with you guys so you can see exactly what it is that she does. Be sure to check out the show notes for this episode at earnyourspurs.com/episode33. You'll be able to find the link to her website there and check out everything that she offers, including those ranch retreats on her website at spurringchange.com. If you love the Earn Your Spurs podcast and have not had a chance to do so yet, I would certainly appreciate if you would hop over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. It's super simple to do, and it really is the only way to help people find us in the iTunes library. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I so, so appreciate you, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.